It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels. Happy to welcome Augustana. Dan Leis here today. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
It's the new album's Life Imitating Life. Let me see if I can encapsulate the narrative and if I'm close.
Okay.
It's just my sense of the narrative. About 10 years of building a band. In the midst of that, you have one of those lightning bolt successes with a song called Boston. Mm-hmm. You make a great second record. But as in this business, sometimes the stars don't align the way you want them to. For different reasons, the band dissolves. And Dan then faces a couple of years of, which way do I go now?
Sure, right.
Would that be close to the real narrative?
That's long story short, perfect, right down the middle. Got
so, it. So when that was all going on, you know, you've seen now, oh, wait, I can do this. You know, I've attained a level of success, which is reaffirming. Mm-hmm. But now, for a lot of reasons, it's like, okay, what am I going to do moving forward? How am I going to do it? Talk to me about how you, quote, I guess in a lot of ways, both personal and professionally, found yourself and found a sense of purpose and direction.
Well, you know, I mean, I think you nailed it right on the head. I think that's what it is. I mean, you have to, I think it's all an evolution from what I found. I believe right now I'm in a very, very solid, secure, happy, healthy place. I mean, I hope that continues, but there will always be new challenges, as you know, as
anything, life imitating life.
Life knows, yeah, exactly. You know, and I think a lot of what this record sort of—it's a lot. It's very introspective. It's a bit conversational at times with outside characters and people, but generally, it's all kind of up in my head, and it's a lot of questioning. Sort of, you know, have I come full circle, you know, or am I just going in circles? And I think that's sort of the basis of, at times it's a bit existential, at times it's a bit totally grounded and sure of itself, the narrative, that is.
Right.
And yeah, man, I mean, I think, like, I do feel like I've found a sense of peace here, and at the same time, though, it hasn't made me lazy or right. complacent. In fact, it's sort of that it sort of drives me harder to then pursue that path, knowing, okay, I think I've found my voice. I think I've found my, what it is, the reason why I'm doing this. You know, when I wrote Boston when I was 17, when I was in college, it's like, I just wanted to be a rock star, you know, that's it. You know, it's like when you're a 17-year-old, that's what you want to do. You want to be on stage. And
that's actually required thinking.
Right. You want to be a dude in a band, you know what I mean? And then as you go through all these different things. And now it's like, you know, I'm a father of three and a husband, you know, many, many years. And it's like, you know, your priorities change, but also your focus, like, you know, and you want to you want to find the reason why you're doing this, you know, especially if you're going to be away so much. And, you know, it's weird for the kids sometimes. This is dad's job. And so it's nice to sort of be like, okay, my vibe is I just want to put good things out in the world. I want to be a positive influence. I want to be something that's, I just want to be putting good things out there, you know, and if somebody connects with that in an important way, then great.
In the mirror, didn't recognize myself. I felt more distant and more useless than the dust up on the shelf. I tried to fix it, but I only ended up hurting someone else. Oh, lover, can you hear me? I'm so scared and I need a little help. I built so many bridges, then I sat and watched them burn. I had so many chances, never took the time to learn. If I could change the past, go back and erase what I have done, I'd redo everything. But youth is wasted on the young. Yeah, you gotta crawl before you walk. Sometimes you gotta scream before you talk. You can't take back everything you've done. Youth is wasted on the young. Youth is wasted on the young. The very thought of me without you sends a shiver down my spine. Spend a lifetime on my knees for just the chance to keep you mine. And like a rocket I shot up and then it crashed and burned. I put the pieces back together as the seasons turn. If I could change the past, go back and erase what I have done, redo most everything. But youth is wasted on the young. Yeah, you gotta crawl before you walk. Sometimes you gotta scream before you talk. You can't take back everything you've done. Youth is wasted on the young. Youth is wasted on the young. Wasted on the young.
In the recording of the record, you were still, in this record, in Life Imitating Life, you had a sense of what you wanted it to be, but you had to work to find it. Mm-hmm. Now, you did some work with John Mahoney up in New York.
Yeah.
And then you did some of the work yourself now, and we're going to get into Nashville in a second. Mm-hmm. Talk about how that's how driven you were to make the record you needed to make, and some of it was with John, and some of it was by you.
Sure. It was, I mean, you know, you talk about, you know, playing around town a little bit. I was still living here in LA. I was living in Studio City. And I loved it over there. It was great. You know, my daughter had a great public school. And I was, you know, just doing a couple tours a year and just buckling down and writing and figuring out exactly, like you said, what is the new direction? Does there need to be a new direction? Like, is it a sonic thing? Is it just a writing thing? And so just kind of dialing all that in, just letting nature and just the nature of time kind of define that, and sort of I wanted a really obvious gut reaction to each song. I didn't want to have to pine away and pine away and pine away at finding the hit or finding the melody or the lyric. I mean, that's not to say I didn't dive very deep and really take my time writing on pen and paper to find the right lyric. But, I mean, I've definitely spent way too much time on things that just, you know, end up being a wash, you know, as opposed to just that. I was like, what was it, man? Why did I love doing this again when I was 17? Like, you know, just kind of center myself for a second and be like, I know I loved this. I know I still love it, but why was it so exciting before, you know? Like, when I was in high school, man, and you put on, you know, an album, and it would, and you make your whole day, you know, define your entire scene or existence. And I was like, you know,
it's become, well, and it is, yeah. It's part of what you're talking about too, and what we like to consider the rock community is they're always some of the greats, you know. I always consider Pete Townsend one of those at the forefront of, they told us we were okay,
right,
you know?
Right.
And it was a communal experience, and listening to some of the great records where there was affirmation, you know, you were told you're okay, you're part of us, you know, everything's going to be all right. Exactly. We're going to screw up, but we're still going to be by your side. And for a lot of rock fans, it really did become an almost religious community.
Right,
you know, totally. It was certainly a spiritual community.
Definitely spiritual.
And in your pursuit at this point on this record, you know, you did have to make some decisions about, you were freed from what was obviously a band that you had been with for a while, and the dynamic of a band. So it was, and you brought to the fact that your perspective had changed.
Definitely.
And it's how much of it now can I hear you asking the question of, how authentic can I be at this point in my life,
right,
about what I'm doing?
Right.
Did John help? And I think it would help probably in the sonic side, from what I would anticipate from the outside, that on the sonic side, he probably lent you some ideas and support. Did he not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, John was a very talented producer. He's worked on some great records. He just did a Sarah Bareilles record that, you know, came out and, you know, got the Grammy nod and all that, and done a bunch of Metric stuff. And really, really talented guy. So we went up to Rhinebeck, New York, cut a bunch of songs, came back home, felt like I maybe missed a couple songs that we didn't actually record up there. And I was like, you know, I think I'm just going to do a couple more here in Nashville. I'd moved to Tennessee by that point, about a year
ago. What prompted the move to Nashville? The family?
Yeah, family.
The songwriting community?
Songwriting, yeah. I've been doing a lot of outside writing, outside of Augustana, strangely enough, like a lot of like really pop stuff, a lot of country stuff, pop country stuff.
Well, it is a songwriter community.
Yeah, it's
pure.
A total writer's community, and it's just a great vibe. We do miss LA a lot for different reasons, but it's a fantastic life out there, and we couldn't be
happier. Well, we still consider you a quote unquote local artist here.
Yeah, well,
because, you know.
Yeah, we spent.
You cut your teeth.
We cut our teeth here, man, for 10 years. You know, this is where we. This is. I still, you know, Troubadour still felt like a home show.
Am I seeing double? Am I withdrawn? Depositing lyrics into a love song. A spider weaving webs for a catch who won't come. Am I pruning roses from a dead bush? A soldier running late for the ambush. Ready in the deck for a storm that's long gone. Second my guess, and the fire in my heart came from ashen ember. And every step I take, got the devil to repay. I'll never make it out alive, but I won't surrender. Had to take it day by day, had to learn the hard way, like a phoenix rising. Can't grab something infinitely splitting into two. every step I take, got the devil to repay. I'll never make it out alive, but I won't surrender. Had to take it day by day, had to feel my heart break. Like a phoenix, I was born from ash and ember. Ash and ember. Ash and ember.
You struck up a friendship with Chris Carrabba mm-hmm. when Dashboard Confessional took you out.
Mm-hmm.
And now you and Chris, you know, with his new Twin Forks ensemble, you're playing again together. Is that kind of camaraderie? I imagine that, you know, especially you were talking about life on the mm-hmm. road.
Totally.
Is that kind of camaraderie great when you have someone else who you've shared that experience prior to and you know there's a trust between the two acts? Talk to me about how it feels seeing someone who once lent a hand to you and now you're working with them.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, Chris and I have known each other for a lot of years. I think he took my band out and 07 or 08 possibly, but yeah, I mean, he's just a go-getter, man. He's a hard-working man, and like to think we all are, you know. I mean, you know, he's got this big band in Dashboard Confessional, and you know, he wanted to do Twin Forks, and his heart's really in that right now, as far as I know, and he's just out there working, man. He's in the van driving like the rest of us, and you know, and just, geez, that was crazy. I think a bird just hit the window.
It happens.
Sorry.
It happens.
Poor bird. So he ended up getting out here, and it's been a great collaboration. It's been great. I think the crowd, like, we have a very friendly crowd. We've kind of earned, very fortunate to have earned a really sweet, accepting audience in every city, and they, like, whoever's opening up, they're on board, man. And so it's really nice. They don't give anybody a hard time. We've been on tours. We were opening and we got a hard time. And, you know.
Well, and yeah. And I was, you know, because a lot of the people from the station were at the show last night.
Oh, cool.
And they did comment on the fact that there was a warmth in the room. There was a warmth from beginning to end that it had that real communal experience that we were discussing. So you have to feel great. That's back to the idea of coming back to Los Angeles mm-hmm. and having not only the artifice of a homecoming, but having that feeling of a fan base.
Absolutely.
Where it's really like, hey, this is family. This isn't just fans.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I've got, like, you know, I've got family from Southern California. I had my daughter's first grade teacher, my daughter's kindergarten teacher, our PE teacher, the couple friends of, you know, kids of my, are friends of my daughter, you know, their parents and stuff like that. I mean, it's like a total, like, I mean, it is. And there is a warmth in the room, and there's a real kind of, you know, LA a lot of times can be kind of a cross your arms town. And we played to that many times, but I think we kind of, like I said, fortunate enough to pine away at it and earn, like, that warmth in the room where you just go like, hey, man, we're all here. Nobody has to feel any certain way other than just, you just enjoy it.
This is not a lesson, and this is not a cry for help. This is not a test, and this is not for someone else. Well, yeah, this one's for you, and everything you do, for every time you said this was forever. Yeah, this one's for me, I'm starting to believe, you and I were born to be together. And I can feel it right now, I'm just where I want. Thank you. not as easy as it was. Well, this one's for you, and everything you do, for every time you said this was forever. And I can feel it right now, I'm just where I wanna be. I reach out, you're right in front of me. We are unstoppable, we are unbreakable, we are invincible together, and I feel alive with you. Yeah, I feel not a devil, and this is not a child of God, and this is not a message, and this is not a double shot, and I'm just loving you, babe, with everything I got.
Obviously, you're going to hone your craft continually, but the document I think you were hoping to make, you've succeeded, at least in our opinion, and we're glad to be able to support you. And that's why it means a lot that you came out during our pledge drive, because one of the things we hope to say to our audience is that we do have these kind of live sessions where we have these conversations where we try to make it that communal experience, and that we want the artists to feel part of the community and we want the listeners to feel part of our collective community. And today's conversation and performance certainly means a lot to us. So we thank you in the midst of what is a big two-show experience for you in town, for you getting up, soldiering on. He brought himself out here to Northridge. You know how to find it. Obviously, living in Studio City, we didn't need to really GPS it for you.
I know what's up around here. I'm good.
But consider this a landing stop whenever you want. Come on out, spend time with us, and share the spirit of your music with us. We want to thank you again, Daniel Ayas of Augustana, live here on 88.5 KCSN. Thanks for coming.
Thanks so much.